Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. Right now, we're going to talk with Julian Dobbs. He is a bishop with the Cana East Section, the Convocation of Anglicans in North America. Their website is canaeast.com. He's also a board member of the Barnabas Fund and is very well acquainted with the persecution of Christians around the world. During this particular segment, we're going to talk about recent developments in Egypt against the Coptic Christians. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Julian, thank you so much for joining us again.
It's very good to be with you. Thank you for having me on and talking about our suffering brothers and sisters around the world.
Mm. And you have visited some of the Christians in Egypt before, and there's been kind of an ongoing suffering in Egypt, as well as for Christians in the Middle East in general, but certainly in Egypt.
Certainly, Jerry. The Christians in Egypt obviously have a very long history back to the days of giving refuge to our Lord. And so the church has been very strong in Egypt, and we're thankful to the Lord for it. However, the Christians are in a minority, and that places Christianity in Egypt under significant pressure. We saw it recently with the Palm Sunday attacks, but we also see it with regards to Christians in Egypt having decreased freedoms to choose and change their religion, to have Christianity recorded on their identity cards. All of these things are significant challenges for the body of Christ in that nation.
Okay, let's talk about the Palm Sunday attacks. What happened there?
We often see these attacks around these Christian holidays, and we may come back to that in a moment. But the tragedy was that as Christians gathered to declare Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, on Palm Sunday, that jihadists, Islamic jihadists, attacked churches in two Egyptian cities, two Coptic churches, the largest expression of Christianity in Egypt and in that region. Significant numbers. The death toll continues to rise. The injuries are horrific. Churches were bombed. Christians were killed. Some people will have seen the images of the blood of the martyrs spilled on the pews of those churches. And the church now is under increasing pressure as a result of the renewed attacks against them on Palm Sunday in the cities of Alexandria and Tanta.
And I understand that after the Tanta attack, which happened at St. George's Cathedral, and then several people were killed, that the person who's the leader of all the Coptic Christians, the Pope, and I believe his name is Tawadros II, but anyway, he leading the church service at St. Mark's, the report is from Coptic circles that he decided to have the service get out early in order to avoid any kind of violence, and he himself left after the service was over. So the people that were there when the bomb went off, not including him because he was already gone by then, it was just people who were, you know, saying prayers and so forth, but it could have been far worse than actually happened because of his quick acting.
Well, we thank the Lord for the wisdom of Pope Tawadros. He's worked and does work very closely with my colleagues at the Barnabas Fund supporting the Christians of Egypt. And the Pope, of course, is wanting to do two things. He's wanting, firstly, to ensure the religious freedom of the Coptic Church within Egypt. And so he met at St. Mark's Alexandria with the faithful to worship Jesus that Palm Sunday morning. But then, secondly, because of his care and concern and pastoral oversight for the church, the reports that you have there suggest that he shortened the service to ensure security. And as a result, even though the death toll was high, it appears that significant others would have been killed if the Coptic service had been left to run its full course. Mm. Now, this is something for which we give thanks to God, but it does show us, of course, that the church is doing two things. It's meeting in the midst of persecution to be a faithful witness to Christ. We see this all over the world. I'm seeing it also with my fellow Anglican bishops in Nigeria. And yet there's also the need to be concerned for safety. Biblically, we see it back in the days of Nehemiah. One hand to the task of building the wall, one hand to the task of ensuring protection.
Okay, now what has happened in Egypt since 2013 that's been particularly bad for the Christians there? Because it seems like, you know, as bad as things have been for centuries, 1400 years, frankly, since the rise of Islam, but, you know, it's kind of hot and then cold and lukewarm or whatever. Now it's certainly hot. What happened in 2013, and how does it impact the body of Christ there in Egypt?
We've seen significant administration change in the Egyptian government. Those who follow these things politically will have noticed that governments have risen and fallen, and Islamist engagement in those governments has risen and fallen. And this has created huge pressure for the Christian community. We must remember that the Lord appears to be bringing many hundreds of Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ in and through the Coptic Church.
Hmm.
I've been to Alexandria. I've seen the growth of the Coptic Church. I've met with some of the converts. And this in itself incites incredible hostility from many portions of the strict jihadist Islamic community in Egypt, which in Islamic law forbids what they term apostasy, the changing of a religion from someone from a Muslim becoming a Christian or to any other faith. And as a result of this apostasy law in Islam, Christians who convert, Muslims who convert to Christianity, are under significant pressure. And this is one of the reasons why we have seen increased pressure in the churches in that region.
Hmm. I remember there was a Pew report about 5 years ago that found that in Egypt, a majority of the people, just the people themselves, the citizens, felt that it was justified to kill somebody who would leave Islam for another religion. That is, the people themselves, not professional jihadist elitists or something like that, but the people themselves, the majority, believe that.
For many faithful Muslims to contemplate the act of someone turning their back on the Islamic faith and converting to another faith, especially to Christianity, is something that is to them incomprehensible. Most schools of Sharia Islamic law agree that Muslim men who leave the faith, who leave Islam, are to be given three opportunities to recant and return to Islam. Otherwise, they are to be killed. Now, don't take my word for that. It's there in the teachings of the Quran and the Hadith. And we are seeing that being carried out in some places by Islamic administrations and other places by zealous Islamic leaders across Muslim-majority countries who are turning on those men, particularly who has left the faith and converted to Islam, to Christianity.
Wow. Now, as you have visited Christians in Egypt, knowing full aware that it's actually fully aware that it's dangerous to actually go in a church, I guess, in Egypt, do you find that this causes the Christians to grow stronger in their faith, or that causes some of them to say, hey, forget it, you know, this is too high a price to pay to go to church on a Sunday morning?
Well, it's difficult for us, isn't it, Jerry, in our Western minds to contemplate this. But when Christianity is under pressure and when religious freedom is being denied, there does for many become a resoluteness with regards to declaring the gospel and expressing faith and publicly worshiping the Lord. And so you tend to find that the Christian community itself, the body of Christ, where the church is in the minority, becomes a very strong and central focus to the life of Christians, so that together Christians are worshiping the Lord when the pressure is on. Together they are coming to church. Together they recognize that even though they might lose their lives for the sake of the gospel, they're standing together with one another. And ultimately, of course, and we see this as the testimony throughout the scriptures, ultimately, Jesus is standing with them. And their witness, in fact, should encourage us in the Christian West to do exactly the same, to stand together, to worship Jesus, to recognize that Christianity is calling us together as Christians all over the world to stand fast in the faith no matter what the cost.
Amen. Tell me, are Christian holidays more dangerous than the rest of the year? Christmas, Palm Sunday, Easter?
We are seeing, of course, when Christians are celebrating these holidays, these feast days, these holy days in the Christian year, that attacks against the Christian community are heightened. We've seen it just recently in Palm Sunday in Egypt. There was also in India, Christians who were targeted by Hindu extremists. And so there are significant attacks on these holiday periods, predominantly because of what the Christian holidays represent. We've just celebrated the greatest Christian festival of all, the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus from the Jerusalem tomb that confronts every other religion in the world. And so this becomes the basis for some of those religions to direct their attacks towards Christians because of what these holidays represent.
Why the collective yawn in the West at large to things like the Palm Sunday bombings in Egypt?
Partly, I think, it is because there is insufficient understanding of what Christianity is like when Christians are in a minority. We see some Christians being attacked, and our hearts are broken, and yet we become a little numb to that situation when we see it happening more regularly. That's a tragedy, because these brothers and sisters, their crime, if we can call it that, is in fact that they're doing exactly what we've been doing, which is worshiping Jesus, declaring the faith, publicly declaring God in our lives and our nation. For us, we may suffer some other form of discrimination, but for them, many of them are paying with their lives. And so I believe that part of the challenge is we must not become numb to the fact that Christians are losing their lives for the gospel we proclaim in this country. And then secondly, we must do all that we possibly can to ensure that the church is aware that our brothers and sisters are suffering significantly in 2017. Yeah. We're not talking about people who lived and died hundreds of years ago.
Right.
We're talking about men and women and young people who lived and died last week,
yeah,
and last month and last year. And so ours is the responsibility as Christians in the West to ensure that our eyes are opened and that we engage to support suffering Christians.
Now, the new head of Egypt, the leader there, did make some sort of statement against jihadists about a year and a half ago, and it could have been to the point where, you know, some of the jihadists might have actually targeted or wanted to target him. But in the meantime, I'm hearing complaints from the Christian community. He's not doing enough, or the government's not doing enough to protect Christians, especially on these high holidays. Your comment or your thoughts?
Well, I think it's very important that Muslim leaders like LCC and others speak out against atrocities against minorities, whether it be Christians, Yazidis, Jews, whomever it is. But what we must remember is that many of these national leaders are Muslims themselves, and so they adhere to the principles of the Islamic faith. And so I believe it's important that through our representatives and through the right channels that we confront these leaders of nations like LCC in Egypt and others and call them to not only renounce attacks, but to ensure that Christians can freely practice their faith in the midst of heightened challenges like we're seeing in Egypt. And that's why engaging with our congressmen, engaging with the White House is very important to ensure that those leaders whom we've elected are aware that Christians in this country are concerned about political matters as pertaining to the gospel across the world.
That's a great point, and I believe Egypt does get some money from the United States. So we're basically out of time, but let me go ahead and give your website. We've been talking with Julian Dobbs, who's a bishop with the Convocation of Anglicans in North America. His website is CanaEast.com. He's also a board member of the Barnabas Fund, which deals with persecution of Christians. Julian, thank you so much. God bless you. Always a pleasure, sir.
God bless you, those listening, and our brothers and sisters around the world.
Amen.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.